This is Living the RV Dream, episode 114 for Friday, September 20th, 2019.
I'm riding in my RV, wherever I want to be, 'cause I'm free in my RV.
Hello, happy campers, hello, pelican heads, and travelers around the world, full-timers, part-timers, weekenders, weekend warriors. You know, fall's coming soon. I've seen some turning leaves on my way here. By the way, today, coming to you from Tallulah, or is that how you pronounce it? Tallulah Falls, or Tallulah Gorge State Park, here in northern Georgia. Very close to the North Carolina border, actually. And what a gorgeous park this is. I am pleasantly surprised. Every time I return to this area, I realize that, there's a lot of cool stuff all over the country. Even more awe-inspiring stuff around the country than this. But I really had this area, this whole northern Georgia area has a special place in my heart. I don't know if it is the climate or the, even though it got a little warm this afternoon, if the vegetation, I don't know, there's something about it that I really find appealing, that I really like. And at some point I would like to make this area my home base. I'm kind of back to that idea, or at least if I'm gonna be a semi-nomadic person, one of my home bases. Yeah, bear with me. Something odd here going on with my microphone and my mobile setup here, which I'm not going to be doing the podcast from my mobile setup for a while, actually, because by the time you hear this, I'll be in Atlanta, but by Sunday, I expect to be back in home base in Miami, Florida, after about 3.5 months on the road. This is the longest I've ever been on my own and traveling nonstop. And so far, knock on wood, everything has worked out great, and it's been a heck of a trip. I can't wait to share with you all the videos of these travels. I have 3 5-gigabyte hard drives. 5 terabytes hard drives, so about 15 terabytes of 4K footage that I'm going to cut most of it, of course, and make some videos for YouTube. But first, before we continue, I believe I have some voicemail from you guys.
Hi, Robert. I just started watching you. I'm a Cuban guy just like you. I've been in here 60 years, though. I'm an old guy. Hey, thank you very much for all your videos. I mean, they're just great, my friend. I got an RV, and I'm learning a lot of tricks from you. Have a good night. Talk to you soon again.
Well, thank you for that message. You've been here for 60 years. I've only been here for half of that long, 30. But in any case, I am glad to be able to help, and whatever questions you have, you know, just send me an email, robert@travelingrobert.com, or actually even better, post it on the Facebook group. We have a Facebook group, Traveling Robert and Friends, and that's been like the most active group lately. Although we also have Living the RV Dream podcast Facebook group. So in either of those, and there's a whole community of people there helping each other. Once in a while, we get a troll and a spammer, but everybody is quick to point them out to me, and then I'll kick them out.
Hey, Robert, this is Marty in Charlotte. We watch your videos sometimes, and we'd like to invite you to come to Oxford, Mississippi, home of the Ole Miss Rebels, and where William Faulkner and John Grisham are from.
Watch my videos sometimes. Well, that's no good. You have to watch them all the time. I'm just kidding. I'm grateful that you watch them sometimes. And definitely, I want to go back to Mississippi. I haven't really done much in Mississippi, to be honest. I've kind of drove through the, is it Gulf Shores or Gulfport? I can never remember. Where Biloxi, I've been to Biloxi too. And of course, on one of my trips on my way back from it was the Chicago road trip, I think, we stopped by Tupelo, Mississippi, and visited the place where Elvis Presley was born. But definitely have to do more in Mississippi. Very nice state, beautiful state. And now that I'm back in the South, I'm starting to reappreciate the South as well. Let me tell you something, and this is one conclusion that I've gotten from traveling around the country. And the more I travel, the more I meet different people and see different places, the more I love this country. My next trip, actually, I think I'm going to revisit the Midwest, because I really liked certain areas of the Midwest, and I think it's underrepresented. Not a lot of people talk about Omaha or places like that, you know, or even Minneapolis or the places in between, you know, that the Nebraska in general is a very cool state, very nice. So I'm going to do the Midwest next. But at some point, we have to do a deep dive into the South, and, you know, Mississippi, Louisiana. Besides New Orleans, you know, I haven't really visited the rest of Louisiana, and such a large and rich state in culture and food. And I was listening to another podcast a couple of days ago, which is one of my favorite podcasts of all time. And sometimes it is local, like domestic, and sometimes it is international. But Chris Christensen, the amateur traveler. Whenever he talks about a U.S. destination, which he usually does one and one, like one U.S., one international, whenever he does that, I take notes, because, you know, there's so much stuff you can see. Like, he just did one about Lafayette, Louisiana, and the food, and all the stuff that you can do there, and the French influence and the Spanish influence. But I'm talking about Louisiana. You're talking about Mississippi. Mississippi, definitely. And there's so much to see everywhere. You know, it's a lifetime is not enough to explore the United States, let alone the world. And to be honest, I want to do both. So we'll see. We'll do as much as we can. But it's been a great trip. As I wind down the trip, you know, I'm starting to reflect on all the stuff that I've done, all the people that I've met. And it's been a great trip. And let me recap a little bit the last couple of weeks, because last week was a short podcast. You know, I had been at the Hershey RV show. I had the meetup that night, so it was kind of a short, rushed podcast. The meetup was great. We had such a great turnout there at Troig's Brewery. I think like 40 people. I mean, we didn't even get a head count or get a group picture, because we were just there hanging out, you know, talking, sharing stories from the road. And some people who were at the previous meetup were there too. And the previous one in Troig's from last year. So we're gonna have to make it a tradition and do the Hershey RV show every year and maybe meet up there or something. We'll see. Although at this point I'm kind of RV showed out, to be honest about it. There was so much at the RV show and not a whole lot in innovation in the things that I was interested in. But I did a lot of walkthroughs, and I'm noticing certain trends, and I think the RV manufacturers are finally modernizing, you know, kind of realizing, you know, we are in this more connected world. So like almost every RV had like multiple USB ports, and like some of the fifth wheels had a charging area right at the kitchen where you could charge like your iPad and your cameras or what have you. Every RV had USB ports at both nightstands, at least one of them. I saw many RVs already with a wireless router built in, which is something that, you know, we all come out here sometimes to connect with nature. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we want to disconnect from the rest of the world. So they starting to realize, and with good reason, that having internet connectivity for many of us is even more important than having cable at the campground or things like that. So a lot of RVs coming with built-in Wi-Fi routers. A lot of them pre-wired for solar and that sort of thing. And, I haven't seen the move that I would like to see towards lithium batteries, for example, especially like in big diesel pushers. They're still using AGMs. And I imagine when you're paying $400,000, $500,000 for a rig, what's an extra $1,000, for lithium batteries, an extra couple of $1,000 at cost, it's probably a lot less. So that sort of thing is kind of disappointing, that we're still using lead acid and AGMs as widespread as we are. But I have a feeling that is something that is going to change in the next couple of years. What else did I notice? I noticed a trend going away from awning style windows, which a couple of years ago, every single RV seemed to have it. Which is really, the premise is that they're really good if it is raining. But when it is not raining, they're kind of not, I don't know, I still have my reservations. I don't like the way that you never have a truly open window for ventilation. It's always like a crack, kind of. So, and even if it is raining, you can open your awning and still open the windows that are in the area below your awning. So, that's a trend that I've noticed. What else have I noticed? A lot of, like, for example, the Winnebagos, many of them on the travel trailers, they're putting all-terrain tires and raised up off the ground. I guess they realize a lot of people want to take these RVs and these trailers a little more off-road, a little to more remote locations. It's no longer, the RV park where we're all, next to each other, like sardines in a can, some of them are. And those were the main trends. A lot of stuff is still the same. I am yet to see like a European style class B plus, or C, like a simple no slides most likely on a ProMaster chassis, something simple like that. I'm probably the only person asking for that, but because the whole industry is going to more slides and different configurations. Although I've seen a couple. I saw a Class C. Was it a Class C by... Yeah, I had to look at my video list on YouTube. It's a Coachman, and it has in the back that big garage like European RVs have, and where you could put like a bike and stuff like that. Of course, when you do that, then the bedroom, your bed is kind of raised off the ground a little more. So you have a little less headroom in your bedroom, but as you know, everything in an RV is a compromise. So I'd like to see a little more innovation in that sense when it comes to floor plans, and we'll see. We'll see in the future. Other than that, Winnebago has some new nice trailers. I think they are taking some design cues from Grand Design, which they acquired recently. And of course, the big news right after the show ended is that Winnebago bought Newmar, and the Newmar owners are almost offended, it's that sort of thing. I guess it was one of those companies that even the owners were very proud of owning a Newmar, because it was family owned, and I think Mennonite owned, so the quality of the craftsmanship of the woodwork was really good. And and they don't know if Winnebago, which is not a bad company, but I guess it doesn't have that cult following as Newmar did. They don't know if Winnebago is gonna keep it that way. And I think if Winnebago, they know their business, and they do they're not going to touch Numar. You know, they're just going to invest in Numar to perhaps mass produce some of the things. But I really hope. Well, another trend that I liked, almost every RV has a Truma water heater, which I'm really glad to see. And many trailers now also have a ductor AC. Because as you know, these ACs on this, you know, the Dometic that we all have, it's very loud. It's a loud unit. What else? Well, that's pretty much all about the RV show. I'm taking some notes to continue my research now in Tampa, because there are a couple of RVs that I missed that I want to revisit now in Tampa, which is going to happen sometime in mid-January, the Super Show. I don't know exactly yet what I'm going to do, but I'm gonna try to be there for sure. Since in any case, this year it is my intention to winter in Florida, so I'm not gonna go to the West. I'm not gonna go to Arizona or anything like that. No RTR, no quartzite, at least not this year. I don't know if I'm gonna do the RTR again, but I do want to do quartzite again at some point. I think it's a cool experience, a cool town. There's not a whole lot to do there, but regardless, it is a good experience to see so many thousands of people boondocking in the desert. And I totally lost my train of thought. I don't know why I was talking about that, because I was going to talk about what I've done after the Hershey RV show. Actually, one afternoon I didn't know what to do. I was tired of editing videos. So I went to Lancaster, it was not what I expected. I expected to see a more quaint small town. And it's like, you know, a somewhat large, very, very northeastern style city. And that's a term that I'm just coming up with right now. But it's that architecture, like narrow houses right next to each other. It's that look, you know. And I saw, you know, I went to the countryside, and you know, it's the tourist attraction, right? The Amish with the horse buggies and all that. And I saw a lot of that, and a lot of it kind of looked authentic, not only like it's a tourist attraction, but that's the way they really go about their life, you know, not using any mechanical equipment. Although some of them were using lawnmowers, I guess there are certain exceptions. I went to this restaurant, it's a buffet, I think it's called Miller's, and they called, I forget the name, it's not a buffet, it's something board. I'm going to have to look it up, am I not? Smorgasbord, I think that's how it is pronounced, and it's a buffet, great food. I ate myself, I stuffed myself, lots of good stuff. So that apparently is one of the famous places there near Lancaster. I went to the area. I went to Intercourse just to take a picture with the sign, because I thought it would be funny, and it was. People seemed to think it was funny on Instagram. By the way, if you want to be more or less up to date with my whereabouts, follow me on Instagram at TravelingRobert. And what did I do? Well, the day after when I decided to leave the RV show, I decided to spend most of the day in Gettysburg. I actually stopped by Harrisburg just to see the state house, the Capitol building, and then I went south to Gettysburg, because so much history there. And I have a thing, you know, since I wasn't born in this country, as you can probably tell by the way I talk. So I didn't do my elementary school and my what would be my junior high. I didn't do them in this country. So I have a lot of gaps in my American history. And I knew Gettysburg was important in the Civil War, but I didn't know exactly what had happened there. So I went and I took the bus tour, and I visited the place, and very, very fascinating, very, very interesting, and very well explained. But the bus tour kind of took longer than I expected, and I kind of wanted to meet up with patron and executive producer Robert and Vicky, and down in Lisburg. And I kind of arrived there late. Actually, I stayed at a Harvest Host's location. It's called Cuatro Gumbas. and very cool. They have a brewery, they have a winery, and they have pizza and sandwiches. And I arrived there like 45 minutes or less before they closed down. But still, I was able to enjoy a good slice of pizza, which it was too much food. So I put it in the fridge, and I was eating pizza for the next day, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we had some beers, and it was great to hang out once again with Robert. And of course, we got to hang. We got to meet in person back at the San Antonio rally, which you will see in a video in about 2 to 3 weeks, 4 weeks. Let's be realistic, in about a month. And that was really cool. I slept like a baby at that Harvest House, by the way. In the morning, I decided to go by Lisburg, you know, just to walk around downtown, see the city. You know, it's supposed to be very historic. In fact, Robert says that that even to this day, people find artifacts from the Civil War in their backyards when they're digging around. So it's interesting, and very, very nice little. I do need to go back there at some point with Illy and spend a couple of days. It sounds like a fun downtown. I walked like 3 or 4 blocks, and I saw 3 breweries and a couple of wine bars and restaurants, and of course there's the historic courthouse. And a very, very cool town. I actually parked a couple of blocks away at the Safeway. I did ask if it was okay, and they told me, yeah, sure. I told them, yeah, I need to park for about an hour, you know, just see the town, and they were fine with it. So it's always good to ask and not just leave your rig there, you know, maybe get towed away or something. But very cool. I got some information at the tourist information center as well. And from there, what did I do? Oh, Harper's Ferry, West Virginia. And I've always wanted, not always, but ever since I read so many books about the Appalachian Trail or the Appalachian Trail, apparently Harper's Ferry is like it's almost exactly at the midpoint of the Appalachian Trail. And it's like the psychological halfway point for people who are doing the trail. And they have like the Appalachian Trail Conservancy Visitors Center there. And of course, I went and bought a couple of t-shirts and a sticker for Minutini, and all that good stuff. It was like a pilgrimage almost to be there. And then I also learned about all the history that also happened there. You know, this whole area is like so much Civil War history, particularly, that I wasn't all that aware about, to be honest. And there's a spot where you say you are virtually crossing what used to be an international border between the Confederate States of America and the United States of America, and this and that. Very cool. I did a hike. I hiked a little section of the Appalachian Trail, which was also pretty cool. I went to a winery, then bought some wine too, and I stayed at this KOA. Actually, for the whole day, I parked just at the visitor center, which is part of the National Park Service. But as the day started going, you know, turning into night, I decided to make a reservation, which, by the way, I discovered you have to do it before 4 p.m. if you want to use the app. So if you're using the KOA app, very nice KOA. At night, I got a visit from another executive producer and patron, Bob, and he brought me a you know, one of these, what are they called? You know, a big bottle of local IPA. I'll remember the name of the thing, and it was very cool. We you know, talked for about an hour there. I was doing laundry, so he drove me to the laundromat there to finish my laundry, and we talked, you know, for about an hour. And it's always good. It's always not good. Great to be able to meet people in person, especially people with whom you have interacted online for a long time, and you kind of feel like you know them. And it is great to finally be able to speak with them in person. You know, the thing that the same thing that has always happened, it happened to with Herbie, Red Jaguar 200, another executive producer in Hershey last year and this year as well. It's happened with so many people around the country. With the Lost RVers, they're from California, and so many people that, you know, that I've met so many people on the road and at the RV show. You know, it's one of those things that you almost feel like a celebrity, because every couple of minutes I was walking around the RV show in Hershey, you know, someone would say, "Hey, Robert, this and that, we watch your videos," and that's really a rewarding feeling to be able to, you know, bring some entertainment or maybe a little bit of education and inspiration at the same time, you know, as you watch the videos that I do on YouTube. And I'm kind of going all over the place today, but I know I have a couple of emails which I'm going to read on the next episode from Miami, Florida. What did I do after Lisburg? I decided to do the... was it after Lisburg? Yes. I decided to do go to Shenandoah National Park and do the Skyline Drive, which is like the northernmost section of the... it's the same road, basically, as the Blue Ridge Parkway. But it's that northernmost section that is inside Shenandoah National Park. And it's a beautiful, beautiful drive. And so, actually, some of the trees are starting to turn, believe it or not. Early, and as I'm driving south, I see less and less, but I'll time it better next year or the year after. At some point, I have to spend the whole autumn up here in the Northeast, but up there in the Northeast, I'm not living no longer there, but you know, in the Appalachian Mountains. I did that. I stayed at actually one of the campgrounds in the National Park Service there, which name escapes me right now. It's one of the ones further south. Let me actually look it up so I can tell you guys. Because, you know, all the national parks, they give you this nice pamphlet, you know, the map with all this stuff. And I'm collecting those, actually, because they're all the same size. They all look kind of different. It's called Loft Mountain. Hold on, let me put it back before I Loft Mountain. The only thing with all these campgrounds, especially in the National Park Service, is that it's dry camping, you know, it's primitive. And my batteries are not doing so great. So while I'm staying at some of these places, I really am unable to use my inverter or to do much, really. I have to save my batteries as... I already ran into trouble when I was staying in Yellowstone one night. I completely killed my batteries, and I was staying at that one campground that doesn't allow generators. So, yeah, it's okay. Eventually, the day came, and then the solar started charging, and it was all good. What else have we done? Well, after that, I continued and I tried to do a little bit of the Blue Ridge Parkway until I found a sign that said road closed. So at that point, I decided to... at this point, I had no idea exactly what I was going to do. I knew I wanted to be on Friday in Atlanta by Friday, but I didn't know which route I was going to take. But what happened, I just drove down to Fancy Gap, and there's a KOA there, and you will say, KOA, are they paying you? No, it's just so simple and so convenient to book at the KOA, even though it was after 4 p.m. and I had to call, but except for one KOA in my entire trip, all of them have been very nice, to be honest. And I spent the night there, and that was the last night, which was Wednesday night. I'm recording this, of course, one day early. And today I just drove it. I knew at some point I was going to have to put in the miles. And today I just drove 4.5 hours from Neal's Gap to where I am right now, Tallulah Gorge State Park in Georgia. So I drove through the rest of Virginia and the entire state of North Carolina. Beautiful drive, by the way. I don't know exactly which routes I took. I will post it when I edit the video, but it's been a beautiful drive all the way here. And this park here, magnificent. I just did a hike earlier today. I did like, it was like in total like 6 miles. And they have like a loop trail that goes through the south rim, and of course you have to some stairs that take you to the bottom, almost to the bottom of the gorge, and to the river down there. and then up, and it's a little. I'm yawning here. It must be late. It's getting late, actually. But it's a beautiful hike, and if you're in northern Georgia, I fully recommend this place. Now tomorrow I'm going to Atlanta, spend some time with the family, and that's as you listen to this Friday afternoon, I intend to do my live stream from there. It's gonna be a short one because surprise, surprise, Ili is flying up to meet with me. And we're going to do the rest of the trip together, which is only like 2.5 days, but together all the way back to South Florida. And that's basically all I have for you today. Next week is going to be a regular episode from our Sticks and Bricks in South Florida. And I'll tell you about the rest of the trip, and I'm sure we'll find something interesting to talk about. I'm going to try to do like a product of the week. By the way, I'm getting a couple of product reviews coming up, which I'm going to mention one of them in the next episode. And that's all I've got. Actually, one of the products, and this is the commercial, since we are commercial free, basically. You know, you all know, and you've heard me before talk about them, Techno RV. I have a relationship with them. I'm an affiliate. And they're going to send me a Berkey water filter. And I really want to test this out because I'm still that guy who buys the packets of water, you know. I'm kind of silly. I try to find the local water. And, you know, I bought this one. It was called Glacier something or Mountain something. And when I bought it in Nebraska, I said, the pride of the Midwest. But then I saw it again in Pennsylvania or somewhere else. I think it was in Michigan. And they didn't say the pride of the Midwest anymore. It was just plain. And I see the fine print, a product of the Nestle company. So I guess there's very few local things anymore. You know, Zephyr Hills in Florida, I think, is part of Coca-Cola. Everything is part of something. So I'm going to start using the actual local water from you know the faucet and put it through my new Berkey filter, and I'll tell you how it goes, how it tastes in a future episode. By the way, if you want to buy the Berkey or anything else from Techno RV, go through my link travelingrobert.com/technorv, you know, TECHNORV, and that way they know I'll send you. And if you buy something from them, they'll send me a small check, which is always welcome to help support the production of the podcast. Until next Friday, have a great weekend. Thank you so much for listening, and see you on the road, because we are living the RV dream and loving the RV lifestyle. Free in my RV.